This is Shayna.
And Chris.
And we are Bad Queers. If you came out of the closet and got put in a box of stereotypes you don't belong to, then welcome to the Bad Queers Club.
When I say fast and furious this episode, y'all, fast and furious, okay?
So many things.
This week in Queer Urban Dictionary, I have egg. Egg is a slang term for someone who is trans but doesn't know it yet. Someone who is an embryo of the trans person they will eventually hatch into.
Oh.
Yeah. I know. I like that second sentence there. My sentence is from Urban Dictionary. So, you know, I always want to preface that because this isn't mine. Some egg in my drama class just asked me what bottom surgery is. Egg.
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 You love it. All right. Well, I'm keeping on the one word, Queer Urban Dictionary. My Queer Urban Dictionary word of the week is side. Side. A homosexual male who does not enjoy anal penetration, giving or receiving, but will engage in other forms of same-sex activity, including fellatio, frottage, hand jobs, etc. My sentence is, sides prefer to kiss, hug, and engage in oral sex, rimming, mutual masturbation, and rubbing up and down on each other, to name just a few ways that they enjoy sexual activities. Thank you, Wikipedia.
Bitch, I am looking up frottage. What the fuck is frottage?
I don't even know if that's how you say it.
I know. Who knows? We don't know.
It just felt French.
We're not here to...
It felt French.
We're not here to pronounce words right. Frottage is a technique of creating a design by rubbing... that's for a pencil. Sorry, I shouldn't have read that one. The definition is the act of obtaining sexual stimulation by rubbing against a person or object.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's just basically like dry humping.
Scissoring. Yeah. Well,
scissoring.
Yeah, dry humping more than scissoring, actually. Yeah. Okay.
Cool.
Well, there we go. That was a bonus.
There we go.
It's three.
Boom. Wow. You're welcome. Let's go on to our category is, we're going to praise Billy Porter. Our first category is of course, we have to wrap up the NCAA women's basketball tournament final against Iowa and South Carolina. It was a beautiful day in the neighborhood is what it was. It was wonderful to see. I know that all of the Iowa fans got so hype at the start of the game because they did come out hot. They came out, took off, and did the things. But what you all have to remember is for basketball games, the game does not matter. The last 2 minutes of the game is the only thing that matters in basketball.
Yeah. That in the third quarter, I'll say, because a lot of games are decided by the third quarter.
Yes.
At least, especially in this tournament where it's like, it's pretty even. Because even South Carolina's match against NC State, it was like, first half, it was like, okay, hanging with them. And then the third quarter, they just... hit the gas.
It shows who went into that locker room and came out raring to go, because it really is. It's like, if especially when teams, I also want to throw in the hat as a runner up, whoever finishes hot going into halftime.
Oh yeah.
Because that changes the whole thing. Like if somebody gets a buzzer beater, if somebody goes and gets like ties up or anything like that happens right before halftime.
Johnson picks your pocket.
Okay.
Lays it takes up off right before
and says, I'm just gonna let you know that we let y'all do what you needed to do for the first half, and we're gonna wrap this up. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Have a good day.
I was finishing up an errand. I had to run to the grocery store. So I came back with maybe 3 minutes left in the first quarter, and I turned it on and I was like, it might not even be 3 minutes. I think it was like 24-9 or something. So I was panicked, but I was like, I know how first quarters can go in any basketball situation. Like you might start off as hot as Caitlin did with 18 points in the first quarter. It's just nuts. Like she went crazy. And then South Carolina had their little Gatorade going into the second quarter. It was like, all right, well, that's it. That is their absolute best, because they played pretty flawless. And towards the end of the first quarter, they made, you know, ground back up. But it was almost like a... they certainly got punched in the face first, but they like did one of those things where, you know, in the movies where they like get punched in the face and there's like blood and they're like, it tastes good. That's kind of what South Carolina did, and then proceeded to, you know, get back at them. So it was such a good game.
Such
there were
game.
No bad games this tournament. Like we talked about it before and talked about how March Madness would be and the tournament would be and how it was South Carolina's to lose. But I'm so full on how great all the games were.
Yes.
The games were great. Everybody was great.
Mm-hmm. And everybody showed out in terms of viewership.
Sure did.
To let the people know that the games were great, which was also fantastic. And I still can't get over that when South Carolina was having issues, Don was just like, freshmen, go out there and show them what they're about to get next year.
Yeah.
Please go in here and handle business. Tessa Johnson came out here and did what needed to be done.
Yeah.
Malaysia Fulwiley came out here and did what needed to be done. Mm-hmm. Also, finding out, side note onto this, Malaysia Fulwiley dates one of like the top track stars on South Carolina's team, but also she's like highly ranked in the nation and is also a freshman.
Really?
Like, does she have like Olympic
aspirations?
I would hope so, because homegirl is moving. Like, she's running 200, 800 relays. Like, girl is moving. And they're both like, they did a video on TikTok where it was basically like, both of us got our rings. And Malaysia showed hers, and then her girlfriend showed hers. And I was like, wow.
Wow.
To be in a winning relationship. We love to see it. We love to see it.
Love to see it. The whole South Carolina team, and none of them played over 30 minutes, whereas the entire start, all the starters for Iowa played over 30 minutes. So that was really also the biggest difference in the game, is just the depth. Obviously, Iowa got outscored like 37-0 bench points. So, yeah, like you just... The way they won was satisfying because of just how many stars they had. Obviously, Tessa Johnson had the most points out of all them, but like they all really did a great job. It was like a really full win. I was like kind of chuckling to myself looking at the South Carolina team, because I was like, wow, that's what diversity looks like. You know,
like it's just range.
Everybody's
range. What range looks like.
Depth.
Okay.
They all seem happy for each other. Like they genuinely. Just, it was a team win. Congratulations to them. Congratulations to us for being able to witness this moment. Do you think, because this has been said, do you think that this is basketball's like Brandi Chastain takes her shirt off moment, like where it's like a turning point, even though I venture to say, obviously a couple years after that, like things, the momentum shifted. But do you think this is a turning point? Do you think for real this time, like we're good? Like it's the sky's the limit. Like we're only going up from here.
I think so.
Women's basketball.
I think so. And that was driven by a lot of people. Like, yes, Caitlin Clark is one of the ones who's giving us the most.
Yeah.
Visibility, but also you can't deny the impact that LSU had last year with like the most outspoken folks. Like if you even look back to just what it was like when they had the tournament during COVID and they showed what the locker room looked like, and it was just that like sad stack of weights compared to the men's locker room. And to see how much we've grown in that time, and with all of the staples that we have, like, and we're going to discuss this later, I know, but Caitlin Clark's impact.
Yeah. Undeniable.
Is real. Undeniable. But Angel Reese's is undeniable. Paige Buechers is undeniable. Cameron Brink and most of Stanford, like undeniable. Yeah. And so being able to see all of those things, having Aaliyah Boston come back and be a sports analyst during the tournament as well.
Like,
we are seeing all of this come in real time, but also the recognition that needs to happen. It still needs to be better. It still needs to be improved. There's still a lot of problematic things, like when they posted winning articles and they put Caitlin Clark's photo instead of South Carolina, and then they were called out on it and changed it. Or like the men's article where they did it for Purdue instead of you guys. It's like, what are y'all doing?
That was wild to me that they put both losers on there. Cause I was like, what? Like, I understand these players, and even for Purdue, for the men's side, like they have that incredibly tall Who lost?
Yes,
they
and lost. Got shut down. Like, he got shut down during that game.
It doesn't matter. I didn't watch that. I just was like, oh, UConn won again. Good for them. You know, one of the things that was funny that was tweeted, where I do think that that's the power of social media in real time, because they were showing so... I mean, they've only shown mostly Iowa fans and coverage and Jason Tsoukalos and everything. But somebody was like, there were more tweets about like, huh?
You just called him Tsoukalos.
What is his name?
What's
his
name? Jason Sudeikis.
Sudeikis. Okay.
I'm sorry. I know we're about to have all these cicadas resurrect from the thing, but
I didn't say cicadas.
No, but it sounded like it.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyways,
I had to laugh at it.
Doesn't matter. Y'all know who I mean. homeboy from SNL that soccer show.
Yeah. That white man.
Yeah, exactly. They kept showing them. And it's just like, people were like, damn, does South Carolina have parents? And then it feels like they saw that in like either the producers or the control room for production saw that in real time and were like, okay, yeah, we should. I mean, and then at a certain point, because as South Carolina started to pull away, I know that Iowa had a last gasp before the end of the fourth quarter, but it was like pretty clear the game was pretty much in control. Mm-hmm. And then they started showing South Carolina fans more, but it was just like, you could have always had this balance. So they could have been better balanced.
Like Brittany Griner was in the building and got like,
I didn't even know that until you sent it to me about the UConn.
Like until the, the reaction to the finish of that UConn game that should not have been called.
But it's like, that was crazy.
How are you not at least amplifying the WNBA players who are there? And at the very least, Brittany Griner being there, like, unless she specifically requested not to be on camera, which I could absolutely expect from her. But
yeah,
how are you not highlighting more folks? See Caitlin Clark's dad and mom every game.
Who are they not together? Because they always they have like two or three people sitting in front of them. They look like they don't talk and everything. It's so funny. Every time they do like show a picture or, you know, just direct the camera to them, I was like, I don't know. I was like, it looks like they're not together, which they might not be. I didn't look into it, but I was like, it looks like it's still icy too. But either way, they got to be better about coverage. The tournament itself, you know, there was a, I forgot what team, but I know that one of the regionals was like in Idaho and they experienced racism. I'm like, let's not go to Idaho, guys.
Yeah, because they had like with all the tournaments and stuff, they were like, oh, we didn't have enough hotels. So we sent them to another area. I think it was Utah. It was Utah or Nebraska.
I always get confused.
I'm saying the team. I'm saying the team that was that experienced it was either Utah or Nebraska. That
I think it was Utah, but they were in Idaho. Let me look. Yeah,
somewhere near where Utah they could have been playing, and it was like an hour and a half, 2 hours away, or something. Yeah, and they went through that, and to hear the coach discuss it because she like it was the most clutch pearls. Yeah, interview I've like, seen where she was just like, this is still happening to me and my team.
Racism is real.
She was like, I need you all to know. I don't know if you knew, but now I've experienced it. And she's going to write a book about it. I'm just waiting.
She absolutely is. She's absolutely going on tour.
Just waiting for it.
Yeah, it was the Utah women's basketball team and it was in Idaho. And I was like, hey, literally send them anywhere but Idaho. Like, you could find... find a little gym in a racially mixed area where this isn't going to happen. But they said this haven of Idaho too is like known for being like full of white supremacists and stuff. So, hey, maybe not send them there. Mm-hmm. Easy fix. We're a very big country. There's a lot of other places they could have gone. So, there's things to fix, but overall, great tournament, you know, wonderful. Did you want to talk about the Don's statements on trans women in basketball and that OutKick Sports reporter who allegedly left immediately is what like I saw a couple of reports about that. Like he asked that question, he came in for that question, asked that question
and then left.
And he said,
I did my time. asked the question that was supposed
to.
He repeated the question multiple times just so he could get a hard yes or no answer because that was basically what they were trying to do. He was trying to create a distraction for Don, and then Don called him on the shit and he was like, well, it's all I could do. I'm out. But that was a wild thing because out of everything, I should not have been surprised that they waited until right before the very last game to be able to ask that question. And it also balances really well to show how multifaceted folks can be because Don is definitely family. So, and she has been hard on.
Which we hope, but Is she definitely, is she out yet?
I think she, I don't think she's like,
I know, said she's it, right there.
We but she is.
Like, come on.
She is. Like,
come on.
She definitely
in
is.
In my mind, she is. But I'm, she, like, I'm me claiming her right now. About that. And she was like, okay. But is she, did she say anything? And
I
was
she
like,
she hasn't said anything.
I don't have a statement. But
here in my life, I think she's just out here functioning and moving and doing her things. Okay.
I know she is.
She is.
Yeah.
She is. She has to be.
And deeply religious, deeply Christian, because she got in a little bit of trouble like a week or so before even this, where she had said something along the lines like, if you don't believe in God, then something's wrong with you and all that. Got in trouble for that. But yeah, multifaceted, as you mentioned.
Multifaceted. Like, and so it's showing the range of being Black and allegedly queer and also supporting human rights. So it's a great thing where it's almost like the week before that happened when she announced the thing about God. And then she stopped and like when they had a post interview where it was like, Don, you're in hot water. She's like, you know, I'm just saying I love God. Like, that's all I'm saying. Yeah. Like, y'all leave me alone.
She can handle the
and she
like
handles it.
So
and then
well.
When she comes in and basically made her statement incredibly clear about
I love
it.
That she took the moment to pause and just like drink her drink, because she's just like, this motherfucker. And by the way, for folks that don't know, OutSports, which is OutKick, is owned by Fox Corporation. It was originally founded by Clay Travis, which is he's a conservative, far right contributor and everything. But OutKick is owned by Fox. So this lines up.
Take that note.
Everything.
Take that note there for them to show up, ask that question. When Don basically had said yes, he repeated the question and he was like, so do you or do you not? And I was like, I don't like your tone. And Don just turned and said, yes, I do support it. If you identify as a woman, you identify with being a woman, then you should be able to play sports. And I know that you're asking me this so that it can cause some distractions on social media with me tomorrow. But all I'm focusing on is my team and my game and winning that next championship. And that is how you answer a question. But you know what was never going to happen? Them asking one of the men's coaches that question.
I know.
That was never going to happen. Not now, not ever. So good for y'all.
They did ask Iowa's coach, who replied, I understand it's a topic that people are interested in, but today my focus is on the game tomorrow and my players. Again, this question was asked the Saturday, you know, the game was on Sunday. This was asked Saturday. So even like you said, this wasn't asked of any men's coaches. Both of the women's coaches were asked. Iowa coach decided not to comment. While Don was like, let's get to it. Yeah, and anybody who comes in my mention, I'm ready for it all.
Ready.
So, you know, yeah. So 10 toes down. Don is already a legend and an icon. And just like, I'm so happy for Don and the University of South Carolina Gamecocks. Side note, they were like, or the Lady Gamecocks, people were like, you can't add lady to Gamecocks because it's contradictory. I didn't look into that, but I assume for animals, maybe it's the thing that you can't do. But whatever, you know?
That's so funny.
That's so funny. I was like, y'all got really deep into it.
I'm just going to start using. I'm going to start using Lady Gamecocks.
Lady Gamecocks, yeah. They were like, that can't happen. There's no such thing as Lady Gamecocks. It was like, all right, too deep.
Okay.
Too deep. Yeah.
Okay.
So
good for you on that research. The only thing care about is last year when Sue Bird and Diana Taurasi did a drinking game where every time Diana said Cox, Sue had to drink. So that's really all I care about.
Which is wonderful. Okay. Wonderful. Well, we got the WNBA draft right after it, you know, with the women's tournament and women's WNBA, it's like boom, boom, boom. So it ends and the draft is April 15th.
Let me tell you that there is a possibility in the draft. Somebody did ESPN did like a mock draft, and there is a possibility. I don't think it's going to happen, but there is a way that Chicago Sky could get both Camilla and Angel.
When I saw that and I was like, wow.
I don't think it's going to happen, but
yeah,
the fact that it's a possibility.
Can you imagine?
You gonna tell us shit in the paint. You gonna do anything with us in the paint. Once they get through their first season, because in the first season, we're going against, you know, some big ass people. But once they figure it out, you couldn't tell us anything in the paint. And it would be glorious. So that's just
crazy.
That's just where we are. And that the fact that that opportunity is potentially there is amazing. And I just want to point that out.
Yeah, it's going to be a great draft. Obviously, you know, Kalen's going number one to the Indiana Fever. Cameron Brink is pretty much locked in to the Sparks. But yeah, and then Camilla Card, I think Chicago does take Camilla. But after that, it's just going to be interesting to see where people fall. Mm-hmm. And then just, what a season this is going to be. Mm-hmm. That's all I can say. They already put out the TV schedule. They were like, Indiana Fever's games, like out of their 40 games, like 36 are nationally televised and everything. And to the point of the Caitlin Clark impact is like, I agree with Dawn Staley in saying that she's one of the GOATs. You can't deny that. And even how she even got to the championship game, back to the championship game this season is amazing. But for my GOATs aren't ringless. Mm. They just aren't. Mm. Wow. And you know, that does matter. Caitlin's not one at any level because her fans are so fucking annoying. It was reported that she, or confirmed that she never won like a high school championship either, because some people are like, oh, well, she didn't go to a powerhouse and you know all that. But it's like, yo, she's not one at any level. And that shouldn't be a knock against her because I think she ultimately does well in the WNBA.
Yeah.
But you got to win a ring. Mm-hmm. You know, like you got to win something. You got to lead somebody to something. And yeah, so I'm excited to see how she adjusts. How do you think this first season is going to go? Do you think it's going to be? Yeah. What do you think? What are your predictions?
I think she's going to be two notches higher than Sabrina was when she first came out. But I also think because we're building out a Kobe and Shaq right now, we're about to have her and Aaliyah. Mm-hmm. And they're doing what needs to be done. So I think that's going to be a fun experience. I mm-hmm. don't think she's going to just like own everything, because she is definitely going to have to adjust to the size and the style of play. But I think the combination of her and Aaliyah, and if they can put that together sooner than later, I think she's going to be a couple notches above how Sabrina came in, because everybody was so hype about Sabrina coming into the WNBA and she kind of had a silent first season. She would have some games where she popped off and did her things, and I think that Caitlin will have the same thing, but yeah. I think Caitlin will get a little bit more.
Yeah. Remind me, I can't think off the top of my head, but when Sabrina came in, how was that team? Like, because as to your point, like having Aaliyah Boston and really just the Indiana Fever not being good for the last couple of years, so having high picks, it's like you have to pick. Like Aaliyah Boston is such a problem in the paint. And mm-hmm. rookie of the year, and had a wonderful rookie season. Now you have to contend with her and Caitlin Clark. So like, who do you pick? You got to pick up Caitlin right after she crosses half court. And then you got to worry about Aaliyah Boston. That mm-hmm. you know. So was Sabrina, I can't remember her team, her rookie year. Yeah. Did she have another player that was like of Aaliyah Boston's caliber or?
Mm-mm. And then no. It wasn't until they got like Brianna.
Right.
And Jonquel Jones and then yeah. all of that. So it was like, and then they got the new coach and all those things. So there is a piece of that. But with Indiana, like they had a new coach come in, and the first thing that the coach got to do was pick up Aaliyah Boston. Like, and now she's like, oh, and we get to give Caitlin. Thank you. Silver platter. Please keep them coming with that energy. And now Indiana Fever gets to like build up in the way that they want to. But the coach has done a really great job building out the culture. Mm-hmm. Making Indiana Fever more of a stamp within the WNBA. And mm-hmm. she's returned. I forget what her role was previously, but she is like returning to the organization. So all of these coaches are starting to like cement their stamp, including like what they're doing with the Aces. And now that they have NECA and Skylar going to support in Seattle, and their coach mm-hmm. was like new as well, because she had been the assistant coach and is now the head coach and is moving into her like third year of coaching and all of that. So it's like everything is on the come up. Chicago Sky has a new coach and a new GM. Like things are moving. So I think everything is kind of going in the right direction, and I'm very excited to see how it breaks down.
It's going to be exciting. I got a side note, personal note, but also put it on the airways. My cousin started a WNBA league and she wants you to join. So I'll send you the link for it, because I was like, ooh. Shane has been doing this for years. So, but this will be my first WNBA fantasy league. So it'll be fun. We'll see how it happens.
I got to get that started with my people too. I run all these things. Got to do that.
Yeah. I was like, she was like, oh, has she done it before? I was like, I feel like Shayna has been like probably a commissioner of a WNBA league.
Yes, I have. Yes, I have. Thank you so much.
So yes.
Thank you so much.
It's a hard yes.
I'll give you my card.
Right. Exactly. All right, we're moving along. I know we spent some time Fast and Furious here. This next category, I'm just going to read through. The top 10 most challenged books of 2023 came out. The American Library Association launched National Library Week and released this top 10 most challenged books list. I'm only going to do the top five because you guessed it. They were all challenged because of LGBTQIA plus themes. Number one was Genderqueer. Number two, All Boys Aren't Blue. I feel like George is like top five every year now. Number three, This Book Is Gay. Number four, The Perks of Being a Wallflower. Mm. I feel like, has that been out? That was a movie, right?
Yeah, it was a movie too. That's been out for a while.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, no, how long is this book?
It's not even like strong queer. It's like, it's in there. It's in there, which is why I was hooked on the book looking back on it. Now it came to light, but it's not, not like as obvious as like All Boys Aren't Blue and Genderqueer and like This Book Is Gay. Like, it's not as obvious. It's a bit more subtle. So they wanted to pick one with some variety.
Okay.
In that, that's, I feel like.
That's very interesting. And number five is Flamer. So.
That's the name of my flag football team.
The Bible wasn't on this list. And I think we're not for 2024, I challenge us to get the Bible in the top five. The Bible deserves to be in the top five. So it's an open challenge to us. Challenge the Bible. All right.
All right. Well, I'm going to wrap up our category is saying rest in power to Carlos Collins. You've probably seen this story going around. This is definitely a trigger warning for this episode because we're talking about assault and unaliving. So Carlos Collins' backstory, this is coming from People. Carlos had walked into a police precinct in Jackson, Mississippi multiple times over the last few months, telling officers that he believed his ex-boyfriend was stalking him. This comes from his family. Carlos had also filed a restraining order against him. Collins' sister, Alicia Hudson, told People, but his ex-boyfriend, Marcus Johnson, was a former Jackson police officer. So, you know, they stick with their own. And don't make moves.
I did not know he was a former police officer.
So
over
the last few months, he was basically in hell dealing with Marcus, and the Jackson Police Department fully mishandled the case and downplayed the situation. Carlos's sister said they didn't care to protect my brother. They protected Marcus. And so on Tuesday, April 9th, Jackson police responded to a violent scene at Collins' apartment where the 25-year-old was found dead, shot multiple times and hit with a blunt object. They have later come to find out that the blunt object was an axe that he was hit with. And Johnson went on the run. It was a few days chase, which honestly, I feel like there's something to look in there. But they finally pursued him in a car chase that crossed state lines, and police arrested him on April 10th in Monroe, Louisiana, on charges of murder and shooting into an occupied dwelling in connection to Collins' killing. So the two had dated for about a year. They ended in late 2023. And in the months that followed, Collins found like air tags and trackers on his car and that of a friend's car and a ring camera he believed that his ex had installed on a vacant apartment nearby just to watch him. They also think that Carlos's sister said that her brother told her he'd awoken to Johnson watching him sleep. So he requested for locks to be changed. A lot of things happening. Again, living hell. Saying that he was obsessed. And one night when they went to like a friend's birthday, when they were still dating, went to celebrate a family member's birthday, it was disrupted when they saw Johnson seated like there. So they said it was like a fatal attraction, and Marcus Johnson didn't want anybody else to be with Carlos. And that was the result after their breakup. It's a devastating thing. It's one of those things that reminds us like domestic violence can happen in any relationship. So be aware of that. And it's a shame that Marcus was protected by Men in Blue.
It's a shame, and it is common. Happens all the time. And just unfortunate. Like, what do you do? Like, and that's, what do you do? What do you do in that situation? Like, who do you go to? You know? So that's, yeah. Incredibly troubling story. Rest in peace to Carlos, and prayers to his family, because to see, like, have to witness this over time, and then, you know, that happened at the end of it, is just like frustrating and helpless and just mm-hmm. awful. So
absolutely. Mm-hmm. It was like, and the thing is Johnson has like a history of problematic behavior like this, of like falsifying badge numbers, trying to like hook up with people to get them to get out of tickets and things like that. Like, there's a lot of red flags, but again, there's no barrier. And I was like, y'all carry around these American flags with a blue stripe on it, and this is who you protect. So,
and just, yeah, I won't go into it today, but it's
not today. Like, we're on a short time frame today.
Crazy.
But know how we feel.
Get away with, you know, so.
Right. And there's probably going to be no internal investigation, and there's not going to be any repercussions for anybody who covered this up. So
as long as they could still get off that whole bad apple thing, where it's just like, y'all been spoiled. All the good apples are scared of the bad apples.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so what are we supposed to do? The good apples are scared of the bad apples. Or even if they're not scared, shit be happening to them. They be disappearing and dying, and like, they don't really investigate when, you know, there are good whistleblowing cops. So rest in peace to Carlos Collins, and prayers to his family, because it didn't have to happen. But and we'll see what happens. We'll keep y'all updated on what happens with this, as you know, as he goes to trial for it. So, all right, gonna move on to Am I Bad Queer, our advice segment. DM us on IG at Bad Queers Pod, or email us at badqueerspodcast@gmail.com to be featured. This first one is from Rue. Rue asks, am I a bad queer if I just choose to date queer women of color? To clarify, I'm Black and I have had my fair share of issues dating white women. I really don't have a lot of white friends, and I don't really find white queer women attractive. I feel like part of it is how they move through the world and our collective history as Black people. But I also want to have the Black on Black love story. Is it weird to limit myself this way? Rue. No. No, I mean, everybody has their preference.
Do it for the culture.
Don't, I know it's hard. I mean, if that's your preference, that's your preference. And I mean, I'm always of the mind of like, you don't have to down anybody else to state your preference. And I don't think you're doing that here. Even though kind of collectively, you're just like, white women. Not attractive, and that's fine. But yeah, I think what white people have to understand is that, I mean, that damn collective history is a hell of a history.
Yeah.
Like, that is enough to be like, nah, I'm good. And I think there's a good amount of white people who do get that. Like, they're like, nah, I get it. Nah, we're pretty terrible. Or a good amount of us are, right? But for the ones who don't, is like, you can't escape just how the unconscious biases come into the relationship, the education you have to do with like dating somebody that's not of your race. And there's so many microaggressions. There's a lot. And there's enough, and there's certainly enough Black people who will date you. So I don't think this is bad. I don't think you're limiting yourself. I think you have very valid and real reasons. And I don't think those reasons are hurtful to white people. I don't think you're like putting white people down in this regard, but I don't know. What do you think here?
Yeah, it's one of those where it's like, you know, you sit and get on the flip side of it, and it's like, well, if a white woman says she's not attracted to Black women, but I think in this case, okay. In this case, I'm just like, you know, it sounds like it just happens to be your preference. Like, you listing out, like, I'm just not typically attracted to like European features, and I'm not typically attracted to these things. Like, that's fine. That's your preference. If it's not one of those things where you're just like, nah, I hate white women. It's just, nah, I just don't feel for them. Cool.
Yeah.
I think that's fine. And I don't think you're limiting yourself. I think you're just going where you want. If you're like pushing everybody away because you really just want a black on black love story, then that's something you probably have to review. But if you're just like, no, I just actually really love black women. And you didn't even say just black women. You said you love queer women of color. So if that's your preference, that's your preference.
Too. I do. That is a good point, though, with the I also want to have a black on black love story. A little weird to chase that. Just have a love story.
Okay, you know?
Just have a love story.
Why am I bringing up Jonathan Majors in this moment where it's like, ooh.
Okay, and he made a decision now to have a black on black love story for a lot of reasons.
God, Megan. I can't even get into him. No,
Megan, and I don't even care about him. I'm just like Megan.
Are you okay? Hey, girl,
Megan,
talk to us.
Come on, Megan,
let us know.
Come on, but they still help rocking, us help you. I guess
help us help you.
Yeah. Mm-mm. But yeah, doing it because of those reasons are very superficial and also very just like, what? Like, I don't know. It's a little cringy to be like, I want a black on black love story. But I also get the pride of it because we are inundated with a lot of interracial couples. So, which is fine, but it would be wonderful to see black on black queer love stories. So, yeah. Hope that helps, Rue. Like, happy spring. I don't know.
Thanks so much for writing in. All right. Our next one is from Anonymous. And so since we just brought up Megan, it'll be Megan. So Megan writes in and said, am I a bad queer for not knowing how to initiate a friends with benefits relationship? Honestly, I can barely manage my friendships to this level, and now I want to be friends with benefits with one of my good friends. We've had some sexual tension whenever we are out partying, and I don't want to date them. But it seems like we'd have a good time hooking up. How do you even start that convo? I'm a very forward person, but that might be a level of directness that I am not prepared for and may not make the other person feel good. So how do I approach this? Any tips? I love this question. I was like, how do you start a friends with benefits conversation without it just being like an accidental hookup that you do? Well, you could do the subtle way where you kind of just talk about things that you're into and see if they're reciprocated, and not even just like, not even to like them to be like, oh, like I want to do this to you. Or, I want to do whatever to you. You could just talk about the things that you like and then see what they say as a response to that and just go back and forth with that and be like, okay, like maybe that's an open conversation. Or you could say like, hey, have you ever had a friends with benefits before? What did that look like? Explore. And then come back and be like, would you ever do that with me? And like, you know, that could be your directive.
Yeah.
I don't know why my voice did all of those things.
Do that with me.
Yeah.
I don't. If they were thinking about it, they might say no then. They're like, okay. As soon as you know, your voice went up.
You know, you could sit and actually be like intentional with your flirting and then just be very clear about like, you know, what you're after. Be like, hey, we can go and do this.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, no strings attached. Let's go. And, you know, just make your move and go from there. So there's a lot of levels to this that you could probably take, but those would be my range of three that I would give. Chris, what you got?
I mean, that's kind of it. The last one was just like being a little bit more direct about it when y'all are in those moments. And we've had some sexual tension whenever we are out partying. I don't know. Keep partying and see where that leads to. Like the next time y'all are partying, like I would, like Shayna said, be more intentional about the flirting and all that, like where it's just like, yeah, like basically giving out the green light. But I don't know. A little part of me is just like, I don't know if you have a conversation about this because I feel like it should happen kind of organically, but also obviously in your mind, you'd be like leading it there because like, what if you do hook up and it's not what you thought it was? And before that you had this big friends with benefits conversation and then you're like, actually we're actually good. So I would just see organically how, like semi-organically, how it turns out if like the next time y'all are partying and you're intentionally putting flirting and putting the vibes out there and just giving the green light, and if it goes there and they're consenting, see where that leads y'all. But yeah, He's like, how do you try a sample before? But like, just don't lock them into a situation before you know you want to actually be friends with benefits with them.
Yes. So, yes.
Might not turn out right. So mm-hmm.
yes, be prepared for all options. Thanks, Megan. Yeah.
All right. That was our advice segment. Am I Bad Queer? DM your questions to us on IG at BadQueersPod or email us at BadQueersPodcast@gmail.com.
All right. What type of backwards would we be if we didn't have unpopular queer opinions? You'll hear a confession soon around this. So I'm just going to make my point on
these
this one.
My confessions. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, friend. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Did you see that cover on Essence? Mm-hmm. Just making sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I like mm-hmm. Essence's little thing that they're doing
little
there.
Thing they did there.
I do need Usher as a Libra to stop saying, talking about chili. Enough.
He won't. Okay.
He won't. Enough.
He won't.
Usher, leave chili alone.
He knows that is the one that got away and you fumbled enough. That bag, sir.
Enough.
You
enough.
Fumbled that bag.
I don't even know. Enough. It's enough. It's enough. We got it. Jesus Christ. But I love him. Love you, Usher. But Libra to Libra. Stop. Leave chili alone. I'm so tired of hearing
chili. Chili's like, on. Why am I trending again? Somebody's man, like, you're trending again. She was like, is it because of Usher? I don't want to know.
Again.
I want to know.
Yeah. Those two are just interesting. I think, was it Chili that admitted like last year that they actually kept hooking up only until like they stopped in like 2019 or 2020?
Of course.
Like we were thinking,
of course,
that it was either Chili, it might have actually been Chili that said that. I think it was. So they both had that where it was just like, oh, like they keep telling us stuff about them. But that shocked me this. Because I obviously, after confessions and just thinking that he cheated on her, which was not the truth, but yeah, they just stopped not too long ago. So, but stop enough. You do
enough.
Yeah.
But anyway, my bad queer opinion is talking about breakups. Because with the moon and the stars and the Mercury and the retrograde and the doing the things, there was just mm-hmm. so many breakups mm-hmm. that have happened over the course of yeah. the month. And I just want to remind people that as grown people, friend breakups don't have to dismantle the entire friend group. Depending on the case. Like if it's, you know, yeah. if it's an amicable breakup, if it's something where like it happened truly between those two, but not like for the rest of the group, we're not in high school and college anymore. You don't have to be like, I am diehard just on this side. Just set some boundaries. Ask the people if they want to be in the same room or not. And then establish your relationships. In that way, moving forward, it's called being adults in your yeah. friendships. If you decide like, oh, nope, I was just friends by association and that's really what it was. And we actually didn't have a relationship. Okay. And y'all will figure that out. Or if they had an amicable breakup and you still want to be friends with both of them. Okay. Have that conversation with each of them and be like, this is what I want to do. And then set your boundaries and make sure everything's okay. It is okay. If it's a serious situation, that's a whole other conversation. I'm talking about the lightweight breakups where y'all can work and navigate it. Just have conversations, set your boundaries. It doesn't have to blow up everything.
What do you think of like, it also, sometimes it depends on like the origins of the friendship. Like, you know how like, it's like, oh, these are my friends that I introduced you to and yeah. you know, vice versa. Like that is always, that can be complicated. It doesn't actually have to be like you mentioned, like, especially if the breakup's like not nasty or something crazy didn't happen. But, I think it does make it difficult to like fully like, I don't know, kind of leave that person or just like hearing about that person or just wondering, because sometimes it's like that friend could even just mention that they hung out with your ex and it's just a reminder, you know? So I don't mm-hmm. know, but I don't think they have to break up. They don't have to like yeah. you can work things out.
And again, that's where the cool. boundary setting comes, where it's like,
right.
Do you want to hear if I hung out with them? Do you want to yeah. be in the same space? Yeah. If we do our group very hangouts, true. Do you want both of them there? Or maybe we're going to alternate between yeah. what it is, or we're going to lean towards like, if this is an activity that we know partner A liked more, or like this was something that partner B liked more, maybe we go with that. But that's the thing. That's where more communication happens. And I think that's also the underlying part of it, is when these breakups happen, we have to talk about what it looks like moving forward. And it will ebb and flow, and we'll figure out, especially as we unravel new feelings when people are solo and living by themselves and, you know, processing. But it does have to do with communication on both ends.
Yeah.
Where it's like the people who got out of the relationship have to like say their boundaries for the thing so that they're not placing themselves into harmful situations or situations mm-hmm. that are going to trigger them. And it's also on the friends to be like, okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. And the friends to respect those boundaries as well. So I think it's just at the end of the day, communicate with your friends through breakups and don't just drop people off, especially, and I'm mainly talking about that tier one lightweight breakup.
Mm-hmm.
Just don't kick people out
like you
immediately. Okay.
Or just wasn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Like those tier one ones. I was like, tier two, tier three, really we can discuss tier
really
one.
Only one tier for sure. And then that tier two,
leave it
was
at
like,
that.
Case by case.
Tier two, we're going to have to have some coaching. Tier three is absolutely not. Don't you dare. Yeah. They're dead
gotta
to everybody.
Got
to
break it up.
Yeah.
Gotta break it up.
But tier one, conversations.
Mm-hmm.
Conversations mm-hmm. and boundaries. Yeah. That's all it is.
I get you. That makes sense. That makes sense. I have a community note. I hope that all of these Caitlin Clark bandwagon fans support her if she does struggle in the WNBA. Like, don't jump off the bandwagon if she struggles or isn't immediately the superstar goat that y'all made her be.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't leave her hanging after all those terrible takes that y'all brought to the surface. Like, all of y'all's like, y'all don't clearly watch women's basketball, women's sports, and just, we saw some of the worst takes. Like, I saw somebody comment, like, are we sure we want more people watching? Like, we do, but it's just like, damn, this is what's going to come with it. It's just these people coming in, because it wasn't just men. Of course, it was mostly men, but it was a lot of people coming in with some wild takes. Like, I'm going to call Chelsea out, my cousin, because we've been going back and forth. She loves Caitlin Clark,
I
and
love
that's absolutely fine.
Hi, Chelsea.
But I can't have a ringless goat. I just cannot. And I want the best for Caitlin because she's a once in generation talent,
mm-hmm.
but it is just levels to this, and that's fine. I just don't want these bandwagon fans to abandon her if she struggles, because she might not, but if she struggles, don't abandon her. Y'all mm-hmm. keep the same energy and see it through. So that's all I ask, because all she's getting is the superstar treatment. Anytime you're highly touted like that, you always have people in the league doubt you or say like, all right, let's see. Like the Wembanyama in San Antonio, like the guys last year were like, okay, we see him balling in France. Let's see what he does. And he's had a pretty good year. I mean, he's going to be wonderful. He's kind of scary to watch in a good way. But like, don't abandon her if she does struggle, because y'all had some wild, terrible takes. So don't abandon her. That's all I'm going to say and all that. That is all I will say. Support her all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Like a marriage. The good, bad, the ugly.
The good, the bad, the ugly. The good, the bad, the ugly. And also, it sucks that y'all give these terrible takes, because it causes people to dig up the fact that she didn't win a high school ring or all these other things, because it's just like, yo, like, I'm arguing with my cousin about Diana. I watched Diana Taurasi. Like, I was like, yo, Caitlin Clark's not even the best white player. Like, I watch with my eyes. Like, there are other white, like, there's levels to white good players,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it doesn't mean Caitlin's not going to end up being that in the pro level. But so far, you know, 0-2 in a championship game is something, because mm-hmm. if you do get there, which it was hard to do, going 0-2 is not like the greatest of all time resume. It could absolutely change, and she has time to change that. I really want to emphasize that point. She could end up being the best, but this isn't a good start to mm-hmm. y'all's little goat, you know, conversation about stuff. She is a once in generation talent, but like, let's just see it through. Let's just see it through, and don't abandon her when she struggles. So. That's all I'm going to say. That's my community note. Put it out there. Y'all have been insufferable. But I was like, if this is what's going to bring money to the league, all right, whatever. Let's go, you know, because they deserve more eyes on them. And then that's also sports, because there's terrible takes everywhere. So they're here, y'all.
There we go.
They are here.
There we go.
There we go.
All right, everybody. Well, we made it. We made the Fast and Furious episode.
Yeah.
So we're going to go ahead and wrap up the show. But you know, we would never leave you without giving shout outs to our faves. My shout out this week goes to Bay Black Boy. It is a group bringing Black queer men and others together to build community. They host events like hot yoga, brunch, Beyonce parties, and so much more to create spaces where Black queer people can connect and love on each other. You can follow and join their next event at Bay, B-A-E, Black Boy on IG.
Cool. Hot yoga, brunch, and Beyonce parties. Wow.
What a range, right?
It's a range. My shout out is to Lesbians of Color History. This account on IG is archiving and celebrating lesbians of colors, their lives, their loves, activism, and existence throughout history and today. You can follow them on IG at Lesbians of Color History.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for tuning in. We will see you next week.
Take care.
Shout out to Sienna Liggins for our Bad Queer soundtrack titled Me Again, and our sound engineer Cesar for making us sound like we know what we're doing. If you enjoyed the episode, please take the time to leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. Until next time. It's me again. Can we talk about things? I'm so sorry that I'm coming.